Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
A Pennsylvania proposed law would impose LGBT agendas on religious organizations. We're going to be talking about it on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Counsel, and Jonathan Alexander, Liberty Counsel's director of public policy. And Jonathan, you were at this particular hearing in Pennsylvania, and you presented testimony in opposition to this proposed law. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so this law comes, or this proposal law comes in the context of Governor Wolf, in various stages of the legislature, introducing what we refer to as bathroom bills, bills that will ultimately strip away privacy rights in allowing males, anatomical males, to enter into women's bathrooms. But it also goes a step further in that it requires churches and religious organizations to hire employees that may not have the same belief and behavior when it comes to the LGBT agenda and it comes to sexual orientation or gender identity. And so I presented testimony alongside Family Policy Council in Pennsylvania, as well as the Alliance Defending Freedom, emphasizing different areas that this law would impact and why ultimately churches in Pennsylvania and religious organizations should be aware of it in trying to stop further proposals like this.
You know, in this particular proposed law, the current Pennsylvania Human Relations Act is what they're seeking to amend, and they're wanting to include in this proposed bill, which is SB 1306, Senate Bill 1306, related to Governor Wolf's so-called bathroom bills. They want to include into this iteration of categories, quote, sexual orientation, and quote, sexual or gender identity. But the amazing thing, Holly, is not that they just want to include that, but they also don't want to exempt churches. They want to also apply this to churches so that churches or religious schools, for example, churches and other religious organizations would also be under this proposal, so that notwithstanding their religious conviction and biblical convictions regarding human sexuality, they'd still have to hire someone who's openly homosexual, engaged in a same-sex relationship, someone who's teaching their schools and their children, and who's openly engaged in a same-sex relationship, or even this situation, a man who wants to dress like a woman as a transvestite, or a man who wants to, quote-unquote, identify as a woman and be able to use the bathrooms and the restrooms and the locker rooms and all these other things, but even teach your children from kindergarten on.
I mean, think of the potential harm. I mean, you're talking about, you know, Christian camps, Christian schools, churches and all that, putting your children in that kind of harm for potential sexual assault. I mean, that's absurd.
And we have the example in Massachusetts, where I'm from originally, of Fontbonne Academy, who offered a job to an employee who didn't share their belief and didn't have the behavior consistent with these tenets, with the religious tenets regarding sexuality and natural marriage. It was a homosexual man that sought a job there. Ultimately, the judge in that case, case that Fontbonne Academy had to settle, said that, well, since you're going to have diversity as part of your principle, and since you're going to open your door to different races and different groups of individuals, well, you also have to open your door to someone that clearly does not share your belief or have the behavior that reflects your religious tenets. And so we're already seeing schools, religious institutions, dragged through the mud with litigation on this very issue. And that's...
So that school in Massachusetts, what does it have to do now?
Well, it settled. It settled for an undisclosed amount. It appealed the case and ultimately settled. And, you know, not only did it, you know, take well over a year to litigate this, but also the school was dragged through the mud. It's in Milton, Massachusetts, about 20 minutes from where I grew up. There are two members of my church that attend that school. And, you know, the PR that the public relations disaster that the school had to undergo is reflective of what can happen here in Pennsylvania and what can happen across the country if bills like this continue to crop up in our past.
And the settlement in that case in Massachusetts requires the school to comply. In the future, they have to have an undisclosed settlement, but they likely have to comply and therefore hire someone that is
right.
contrary to their core religious values?
They weren't allowed to rescind the contract or the application. They had offered him a job and they, you know, took the offer off the table. And so they have to employ him ultimately. And in addition to that, pay out this undisclosed amount. And so that's what's at stake here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania as well.
And, you know, Holly and Jonathan, to hire someone who's a person of color or a different ethnicity is completely different than being required to hire someone who is openly engaged in an activity that the Bible calls sin, that is contrary to your core biblical beliefs, to engage in sexual relations outside of marriage between a man and a woman, or to frankly rebel against our Creator by saying that you are not who you were born to be, that you're a man and you want to be a woman and therefore should be allowed to enter the woman's facilities. That is a completely different thing. They are not the same thing.
But the proponents of this bill are arguing that, aren't they? Jonathan's saying that they're comparing the gender discrimination to skin color. And how are you able to testify to that?
Yeah, you hear that argument time and time again, saying that those that identify by their sexual orientation or as a different gender than they were born are basically facing the same struggles and have the same history as Black Americans. And, you know, since we as a society got over our mistreatment of Black Americans, we should basically, even our religious organizations, get over certain sexual orientations and different gender identities. So an attempt to equate the two. You know, they argue that if a religious person decides not to hire someone based on their skin color, that it's the exact same as if they try or don't hire someone based on their sexual orientation. The fundamental difference there, and you know, myself as a person of color, I take offense to that because it's not a feeling or a desire that makes me Black. You know, my race
isn't, not a choice. Yeah.
Right. It's not a choice. It's not something that's actionable. It's not something that I can engage in. You know, rather it's who I am. It's what the Creator gave me as an identity. Sexual orientation and the manifestation of it is a behavior. Transgenderism, even in its legal standard, is evidenced by one's desire or their feelings or their belief that they're one gender or another. That is completely different than the immutable characteristic of being born Black.
Now, this particular bill, the next step is to see what this committee will do, and then if it passes it, perhaps go on to a full Senate vote, and then perhaps a full House vote, and then perhaps on to the governor. What's the next step?
Right. So we're seeing, it's not just this bill. There's about four bills that are floating around in the Pennsylvania legislature that will add sexual orientation and gender identity as a protected class in different areas. This is employment. And so they're using the tactic of saying, you know, this is good for business. We need to be competitive with the other states that already have this, which statistically is a lie. So, you know, they're introducing an employment. Housing is also on the table. And then ultimately public accommodations. And so it's systemic. It's progressive, as they'd call it. And it follows the model that they've done all over the country, you know, getting individual municipalities to make resolutions based on adding these two standards as a protected class and saying, well, it's worked well in these municipalities, therefore we need it in employment. We also need it in housing. And ultimately, you know, a comprehensive approach by having every public accommodation now have to open their lawfully sex-segregated facilities like bathrooms and locker rooms to persons of the opposite sex.
And the key, I think, that is happening now is they were originally content in exempting churches and religious organizations, but they're no right. longer content in doing that because they want everyone to comply. It's not a tolerant agenda. It's a very right. intolerant one. They want to force you. Well, our guest was today Jonathan Alexander. He's our director of public policy out of Washington, D.C., in our Washington, D.C. office, and he works with legislation and public policy in Washington, D.C. and at the state level around the country. If you have issues or have questions regarding laws that are pending in your state, you want to be involved. For more information and to support Liberty Council, visit lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Council. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Council's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. Become an active partner of Liberty Council and make a difference in your community and across the nation.